So I think at this point in our lives, we've all realized that there are some questions that are just big questions, right, that we just all kind of wrestle with over time. And some of them are like, you know, not necessarily life-altering, but they're a little confusing, and we're not 100% for sure what to do with these things. Like, you know, questions like, you know, like deep questions. Like, you know, why do we call it rush hour if nobody's moving? You know, it's like nobody rushing. Everybody's just sitting there. Why don't we just call it like sitting hour? You know, because that's really what it is. You know, how about this? Like, how do you handcuff a one-armed man? Has anybody ever thought about that? You're like, you think about the movie The Fugitive with Harrison Ford, you know, and he's like, if they would have caught the one-armed man, how would they have, you know, handcuffed him in the first place? You know, it's like, think about that. How about this? It's like, are eyebrows facial hair? So do we all have facial hair in the room today? I mean, or about this? If you work at a tea factory, do you take coffee breaks? You ever thought about that? It's like, what do you do there? Or how about this? If a bunch of cats jump on top of each other, is it still called a dog pile? You know, it's like, these are the kind of questions, thank you for humoring me, that we all wrestle with from time to time. But then there are like real questions, you know? Real questions that we really get down into the nitty gritty with. And it's like, you know, so what's wrong with the world? You know, we look at things, it's like, it doesn't feel like things are the way they should be. You know, man, what's wrong with the world? Why is there so much pain and suffering in this world? If there's a good God out there who loves us so dearly, then why does it hurt so much? You know, and that's another question. It's like, where is God whenever I'm experiencing pain and difficulty and hurts? Or maybe here's a question that you've wrestled with at some point in your life. Maybe that's why you're watching or you're here today. It's like, what's God's goal for my life? What is his purpose for me? Why does he have me here on this planet, in this time, in this season? What is the reason why on earth am I here? And really today, as we wrap up our series, You Are Here, where we've been talking about just trying to like figure out, you know, how do we get where we really want, or where we really should want to be as people, as a church? We've been wrestling with these big questions. And today, as we put a bow on it, here's the big question. Here's the check-in question. And it's just this. Why are you here? Why are we here? Why are you here? And in fact, let me start off by asking you that very specific question. And I want to ask you this. So why are you here? Now, where is here? Here is Corinth Christian Church, right? So I want you to think just clearly through this. Why are you here? Why are you at this place? If you had a friend that came up to you and said, can you explain to me why do you go and why are you a part of Corinth Christian Church? What would your answer be? And for some of you, maybe your answer would be, it's like, man, I just really, really love the preaching. You know, Josh and Luke and Adam, they get up there, it just feels like they're just talking directly, you know, to me. And that Adam guy, he's hilarious, you know, and I don't care what his wife says. You know, it's like, he's funny. You know, or maybe it's, you would say, you know, the music. The music just inspires me. I mean, it's amazing stuff. And it's like, it just, every time, it's just like, it just moves me. Maybe you would say to somebody, it's like, well, they've got incredible programming for my kids. You know, the Corinth Kids program, you know, from the itty bitties to the elementary to the Corinth teens. It's just like, that family ministry is just, it's amazing. I love it. Maybe you would say, it's just, well, I love the atmosphere. You know, it kind of feels like a family reunion that you don't want to leave. You know, it's like, we're just kind of there. They've got free coffee in the lobby. And so, hey, you know, I'm easy. You know, that's all I need. Why are you here? And I want to tell you this, okay? So listen up to me. God used every single one of those things to get you here. Okay? All those things God has used to get you to this place, to get you here, to get you as a part of this church. But I want you to hear me today. That's not why you are here. You're not here because of any of that. You are here for one or more of three reasons, all right? I'll just lay it out for you up the front. You want to know why you're here? Here's reason number one. God is going to use you to help someone through a valley in their life. God is going to use you to help someone through a valley because he's going to use your experience. He's going to use your story. He's going to use your difficult chapters. All right, so you're overcoming addiction. You're going through that divorce. You're going through that painful death. You're going through that time with your prodigal child. He's going to use all of those things because God never wastes a pain, right? Can somebody say amen? And he never wastes a pain. And so he's going to use that to help bring healing to someone else that is here. As you pursue Jesus, build community, and unleash compassion, he's going to use you to help someone through a valley. Here's the second reason, is that you're going to experience a valley, and you're going to need someone to walk alongside of you. At some point, my friends, I wish I could tell you this wasn't the case, but here's the reality. Something bad is going to happen in your life. And I know that sounds negative, so I'll put it positive. I am positive that something bad is going to happen in your life, right? And when that does, you're going to need somebody to walk alongside of you in the midst of your valley. That's why you're here. Here's the last reason. You and a few others will engage in a great God-sized kingdom venture in this community or somewhere around the world. We have been brought together and to be a part of a God-sized kingdom venture. And here's the thing. That venture would be less than best if you're not a part of it. See, here's the thing. God has brought you and me. He's brought all of us together, online community, in-person community. He has brought us all together on purpose. He has done this for a very specific reason. And he knows what he has prepared you and me and us together to do. He has prepared this for us. In fact, there's a verse over in Ephesians chapter 2 that I want to share with you. It's in your notes. It'll be up here on the screen. And so let's go ahead and throw it up on the screen because I want us to just read this out loud together, all right? So it's all up here on the screen. If you're at home and you're watching online, just go ahead and say it out loud. Even if there's other people in the room or at the coffee shop, wherever you are, it'll be fun, all right? So here we go. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Here we go. It's on the screen. Let's read this together. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. He prepared them in advance that we would walk in them. Now, in your notes or in your Bible, I want you to do something, right? I want you to circle that word workmanship. And then I want you to circle the phrase good works. Okay, so workmanship and good works. These are the two key phrases and words here. And then what I want you to do is I want you to draw an arrow from workmanship to good works, because that's the connection. So he says we're his workmanship. That literally what Paul is saying in the original language in the Greek is that we are his masterpiece. And in the original language in Greek, it's the Greek word poema. Okay, we would transliterate it by spelling it this way, P-O-E-M-A, which is where we get our word poem, okay? It's poem. It's art. We are a work of art. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a work of art. Just do that real quick, okay? You know, don't say you're a real piece of work. Say you're a work of art, all right? You are God's work of art. But don't miss this. Don't miss this. Why? God created you as a work of art for a purpose. He created you for a purpose. You have a purpose. And what is that purpose? It's to do good works. Things that he's been thinking about before you were even born. Before your parents were born. Before your grandparents were born. Before your great-grandparents were born. He was thinking about, here's why I'm creating them. I have a plan for them. I have a design for them. They're going to accomplish something for my kingdom. It's to do good works. That's what we were created to do, to walk in those things. And so here's the thing, friends. If God knows in advance what he wants to do through your life, then everything he is shaping you into, your experiences, the good and the bad, your relationships, your geographical location, that's preparing you for the good works that he has in mind for your life. Nothing is an accident. He's got it all there so that you can do the good works. He's prepared us to do good works. And so over the past 3 weeks, we've talked about what does that look like? Well, we want to be people who pursue Jesus. Okay, first things first, Jesus is always, always first. We want to be people who build community. That's a part of the purpose why we've been created. Okay, but the last thing that we're showing you is that you have been prepared. You have been created to unleash compassion through your surrendered living in this world. And so what does that look like? We could probably spend a lot of time giving a whole bunch of like smaller categories. I'm going to try to just put this into three really big, really broad categories today, okay? What does surrendered living look like? Well, the first thing it looks like is we give, okay? We become givers. And so we're talking about money. All right. And here I'm going to tell you a truth right up the front about money. And it's this: God doesn't need your money. Let me say that again. He doesn't need it. Okay. In fact, if God wanted your money, he would just take it. And we would have no argument against him, really, right? I mean, we'd be like, hey, that's yours. But you said I could use it, you know, and it's just like, we have no argument against that. And he doesn't need your permission to access your resources. He knows the number of hairs on your head, and so he knows your online banking password. Okay, I don't care how secure it is. He knows it. But not only does God not need your money in particular, I want you to hear me, he doesn't need you in general. He doesn't need me in general. I'm not trying to insult you or me, you know, but this is just a reality. The fact is that God doesn't need you, me, or the Pope to accomplish his purposes in the world today. I mean, God is not sitting up in heaven just going, man, if I just had like one person down there who would just do what I wanted him to do, then maybe I could get some stuff done down there. No. His activity isn't dependent on our involvement. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. But here's the beautiful thing. God doesn't need us, yet he invites us. He doesn't need us. He invites us to join him. He doesn't need us. He wants us to be in what he's about. We don't invite God into our lives as much as God invites us into his. And he's inviting all of us to join up with him. And it's incredible. One, he doesn't need us. He invites us to participate. And so whenever you give your money, what you are doing is you are joining in with God in his mission across this world. There's a fantastic verse over in Philippians chapter 4. And if we're not paying attention, we'll kind of miss what Paul is saying here. In Philippians 4, verse 14, this is what Paul says. He says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. He's like, life's been hard, life's been difficult, but it was good of you to share in my troubles. Now, here's what you got to know, is that whenever Paul writes these words, the Philippians are 800 miles away from him. They're not around the corner. They're not the ones visiting him. They're not the ones coming into prison. They're not the ones, you know, bringing him the chocolate chip cookies. That's not what they're doing. They're 800 miles away. How are they sharing in his troubles? Financially. They're partnering with him. They're giving. And that's what they're doing. And so whenever we give, what are we doing? We're partnering with the work of God. When we give, what we're saying is we believe that the gospel needs to be preached and that the gospel needs to be heard. And whenever you give to Corinth Christian Church, you don't just give to Corinth Christian Church. What you are doing is you are giving as part of a worldwide movement. All kinds of things. You are joining in with churches, with believers in North America, in Korea, in China, in Albania, in Mexico, in Guatemala, in Japan, and places that I'm forgetting. You are partnering with all of them. And whenever you give, you're not just partnering with churches and local ministries. You're partnering with Bible colleges who are investing in the training of future kingdom workers, future preachers, future missionaries, youth ministers, worship ministers, to carry on the Great Commission as the baton is handed off from this generation to the next. But right now, my numbers are right. We've got 5 of our students who are in Bible college right now. And you don't know this, but you are helping fund their Bible college education. Because as a church, we believe in this so much that we give a couple thousand dollars a semester to students who are pursuing a ministry degree. Your giving is partnering. It is sharing with them and saying, we believe in you. We want the gospel to be proclaimed as far as the east is from the west. Whenever you give, this is what you're doing. Because it's a recognition that there is something bigger going on around us than what's just happening in this room. So when you give, you're a part of what God is doing everywhere. What does surrendered living look like? Well, we give. We serve. Okay, we serve. Because one of the things that we believe here, and we believe this because, well, the Bible teaches this, is that everyone has a role to play. Everybody's got a role to play. And it doesn't matter who you are or how old you are, you have a role to play in making this the best church that we can be. You know, for me, like whenever I grew up, I loved superheroes. In fact, my superhero of the day whenever I was growing up was Superman. And for me, until the day I die, I don't care what you say, Christopher Reeve is going to be Superman. Can I get an amen on that? Oh, man alive. I'm preaching now, aren't I? I'm preaching, all right? So I love Superman. I loved him so much that, you know, whenever I was a kid, I would wear like cowboy boots and sweatpants with a pair of underwear over the top, you know, because that's what Superman did. I had a cape. I wore it everywhere I went. I mean, when I say I wore it everywhere, I wore it everywhere. I mean, the grocery store, the video store. I wore it to church until my mom said, Adam, you're 17. It's time. It's time to stop. But just love Superman. And even now, I still love superhero movies. They're like the best movies that are out there. And it's like, they're also the only movies that they make anymore. But, you know, it's like, I love them. But I mean, whether it's Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, you know, Avengers. I mean, I just love these characters. But you ever stop to think about what is it that makes it for a good superhero? What is it that sets them apart? And it's like, well, the answer is simple, right? They've got a special gift. They have a superpower. That's what it is that makes them just so incredible. I mean, Captain America has super strength. He's got his shield. Thor is a Norse god with a hammer. You know, Iron Man has armor, brain, and a lot of money, okay? And so you just look through these things. It's like they've all got their own gifts. They've all got their own powers. And whenever they join forces, when the Avengers assemble, there's nothing in the universe that can stop them. And church, what I want you to hear today is that whenever you and I, whenever we surrender our lives to Christ, what God does is he gives us our own gifts to use. You can call them superpowers if you want. And whenever we put our gifts together, whenever the church assembles, there's nothing in the universe that can stop us. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12. He says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. We all have different gifts, different strengths, different roles given by God, and we're all called to use them. Now, one of the questions that we get from time to time is like, okay, I believe that. I believe that God gives us gifts, but how do I know what my gift is? Like, is there a simple way for me to kind of know it? And there's a seminary professor that years ago kind of gave a clever way to kind of think through, you know, what is my spiritual gift? And so he says, I want you to imagine that you're at a restaurant with some close friends and you're there and it's about time to share dessert with one another. And you see one of your friends is about to stick their fork into the piece of cherry pie there because everybody knows cherry pie is the best pie. Okay. Besides pecan pie, pumpkin pie, sweet potato pie. Okay, all the pies are great. But anyway, so they've got the cherry pie, and you notice that the plate is like really close to the edge of the table, but before you have time to warn them and go, yo, 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 like that, they put their fork into the pie, and it just falls into their lap. Well, what you do next may be a clue as to what your spiritual gift is. So here you go, think about it. So are you somebody who just jumps up and you offer help? And so you grab a napkin and you rush to do whatever you can to clean up the mess. Well, if so, you probably have the gift of serving. Do you look at the victim and offer wise advice and say, you know, there's really a better way to eat pie. First, you should always keep it half an arm's length from the edge of the table. You know, if you're inclined to lead a Bible study on the subject, you might say something like, you know, this incident reminds me of whenever Jesus gathered with his disciples at a table. You know, in fact, I discovered that the Greek word for table is, okay? So if you find yourself offering instructions, then you have the gift of teaching and the gift of bad timing. All right, and so that's your gift. If you slap your leg, you laugh out loud and exclaim that you've done far dumber things because you just want to make your friend feel better about themselves, you probably have the gift of encouragement. If you offer to buy your friend another piece of pie and then offer to buy dessert for the rest of the table, well, then you can be pretty sure you have the gift of giving, or you just have a really big sweet tooth, okay? All right, you got that. If you start organizing a crew, getting everyone else to follow your detailed instructions on how to clean things up, then you have the gift of leadership. And if you look on and say, wow, I can't believe you didn't notice how close your plate was to the edge of the table, you should have seen that coming. Well, then chances are you have the gift of prophecy. Okay? And so that's what it is. But here's the thing. No matter what your gift is, don't miss it, church. God has given it to you not to just make your life better. He's given you that gift to serve him and to serve others in his church. And so let me just bring this all the way down and let me just be as plain as I know how to be, all right? if you're just coming to church and not serving, I can promise you that God wants to do more in you and through you. I can promise you that. And I know all the excuses. Believe me, we've heard them all. I don't have the time. Well, you guys don't really need me anyway. I mean, I don't know what I would do. I really don't have any special skills to contribute. Bro, just listen to me. You've heard this before, right? That the Lord doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called. And that's what he does. He's called every single one of us. And since he's called every single one of us to jump in and to serve, he's going, I will give you what you need. I mean, Moses didn't think he was a leader or a speaker, but yet God was able to use him to bring Israel out of slavery. David was the youngest brother, the most insignificant of all of his brothers, and God worked through him to defeat a giant and eventually made him a king. Paul used to kill and murder Christians, and God used him to become one of the most highly regarded and prolific writers and church planters in history. He just doesn't call people who already have all the gifts. He's like, I'm going to give you what you need. Just step out. Step out and step in and serve. What does surrendered living look like? Well, we're people who give. We're people who serve. Here's the last thing. We're people who share. We share. Now, here's the thing. If you've been a Christian in here for a little while, here's something that I know about you is because I know this about me. That one of the things that's easy to forget over the years is that the reason you are a Christian is because at some point in your life, somebody shared Jesus with you. And that's why you're a follower now. Because someone took the initiative and they shared Jesus with you. And they shared Jesus with you. They invited you into relationship with him because you were lost. And they noticed it and they said, I want to tell you about Jesus. I mean, the Bible says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. And what's sad is that over the years, over the time, we just forget someone sought me out to share Jesus with me. I am a Christian because someone introduced me to Jesus Christ. I mean, you think back over your story. We've all got our stories. I mean, my story, it may be similar to some of y'all's, to where, like, I grew up in a Christian home, but then whenever I became a teenager, bad stuff was kind of going on. Difficulty was arising. And instead of running to the Lord, I ran my own way, which is just another way of saying I was lost, doing stupid stuff. But yet in the midst of all of that, I had friends in my life who kept seeking me. Guys named Kyle, guys named Brian and Aaron, my youth pastor, Jeff. And they just kept seeking. They kept inviting, pursuing me. Even when I turned them down, they were persistent. And it was their persistence that led to my restoration to the faith. And friends, I'm pretty confident of this. Someone helped you. Someone shared Jesus with you. And it could have been your grandma, it could have been your mom, it could have been your dad, it could have been a friend, it could have been a coach, it could have been a coworker. But here's the deal. Someone at some point in your life shared Jesus Christ with you. And so the question is for us, who is it in my life that I know has wandered away from the faith? Who is it in my life that I know is lost and needs to be found? Who is it in my life that I know that does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And how can I share Jesus with them? That's the question for all of us. And this is why as a church, we are continually just telling you, we believe that every single one of us should have a one that we are praying for daily. God, would you bring them back home? And that we encourage you to take that name, to write it down on a piece of paper, put it in a place where you will see it, to pray for them daily, to be looking for those opportunities, to invite them to church, to share your story with them, to have those opportunities where it's just like, oh my goodness, is this what the Lord is doing? Is this what the Spirit is doing? Are you opening up the gateway? Are you opening up the pathway for me to share my story with them right now? And oh God, give me the strength, give me the courage, give me the wisdom, give me the discernment, command me what to say, how to say it, Lord, because I'm ready right now. We believe this. We need to be people who are willing to share our story with him. And I know whenever I say this, everybody just gets a little tight. Like, yo, dude, that's scary stuff, man. man, I don't know. What if they ask me questions? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I think that we tend to overcomplicate things a lot in life. And there's a story in John chapter 9 that I just absolutely love, I think can give us a little bit of guidance. And so John chapter 9, there's this blind man that Jesus heals, so he's no longer blind, but we still call him the blind man, okay, which is just kind of a bummer for him. But he heals him, and there's just like this huge controversy. I mean, they're like committee hearings taking place and interrogations. Gets to the point where they call in the once blind guy's parents, are like, yo, tell us about him. And so it's craziness. And so in this last interview with the committee, the former blind guy, the committee asked him a question about Jesus. Like, tell us, is he a sinner? Is he evil? You know, do we really need to be listening to him? Do we have to pay attention to what he has to say? And I love the guy's response. He's like, yo, listen, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind. Now I see. It's kind of a mic drop moment, isn't it? I mean, because don't you just hear it? He's like, dude, I don't know the answer to all your questions. I don't know the answer to all your theological queries. I don't know the answer to any of these kind of things. Here's the one thing I know. I woke up today and I couldn't see. Now I can. He did it. And see, that's the thing, my friends. Like him, you may not know the answer to every single question. And you may not know how to answer every single question that is brought up to you, but you know one thing that no one else on this planet knows. Do you want to know what you know that nobody else knows on this planet? You know what Jesus Christ did for you. So go with that. And you know what Jesus did for you. Or how about this? You know where you would be without Jesus. And what kind of person you would be if you didn't have him or if he didn't have you. So what do we go with? That. We just share that. See, do not underestimate the power of your personal story. Because every single one of us in this room, if you call yourself a Christian, every single one of us has a story that highlights God's amazing grace in our lives. And listen to me, church, your story doesn't have to be dramatic. It just has to be true. So share your story. Because we want to be a church. We want to be people who understand why we're here. And why are we here? So that we can unleash compassion on this community, around this world. How are we going to do it? Through surrendered living. We're going to surrender to Jesus and we're going to live our entire life for him. What does that look like? Well, we're going to be people who give, we're going to be people who serve, and we're going to be people who share our story. Because here's the bottom line for you. A successful life is a surrendered life. You want to know what true success is? It's whenever we surrender everything that we have to Jesus and we just lay it all down and say, everything I have, God, is at your disposal. I'm here. And I'm laying it all down. So here's my challenge to you. If you're watching online, you're in the room, this is for all of us. Would you take your next step? What step do you need to take today? Whenever it comes to surrendered living, how surrendered are you in your life right now? And maybe for some of you, this means you need to take a real hard look at your giving because you're not. And it's like, listen, this is part of it. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't want your money. He wants you. He wants something for you. And so maybe today is just the day. It's like, you know what? It's time for us to start. And we're not going to be people who give what's left over. We're going to give off at the top. The Bible recommends and says, hey, really, if you want to start off at that 10% mark. It's called a tithe. And you just jump in. You say right off the top, 10%, here we go. Maybe you're a little concerned. Like, well, bro, man, if I do that, I'm going to have to, like, change the way I spend my money. Yeah, you probably will. But here's the thing. In fact, here's what I would just throw out to you. Try it for 90 days. And if you don't see at the end that God has done something in your life, in your heart, in your soul, then stop. But what we believe and what I'm convinced of, what the Bible teaches, is that whenever we honor God financially, he's going to take care of those things. You'll see him come through. And I can tell you that there are a lot of faces, a lot of people in this room and the other services who can attest to that truth. So maybe it's jump in and start giving. Maybe it's time for you to start serving. And if you don't know where to start, That's fine. That's why we've created part of our Next Steps process. It's just an event called Changemaker, which is all about how you can find your role in making a difference here. And even if you've been coming to church here for 47 years and you're like, I really want to know where I can serve, then jump into Changemaker. Jump in there and find that place to serve. Here's a really simple way that you can serve if you're in this room right now at 9:30, okay? One of the simple ways that you can serve is just say, you know what, I'm going to switch services and go to the 11 o'clock service because I can notice that the 9:30 is starting to get full at times. And I'm just going to move hours so that there's more space at the 9:30 for more new people to come in because it's about Jesus. Maybe your next step is it's time to share your story with someone. You know that the Lord has put somebody on your heart and you know that he's been providing opportunities. You've been talking yourself out of it. It's not the right time. It's not the right place. But just commit and say, God, I'm willing. You provide that open door. I'm walking through it. And share your story. Because here's the thing, friends. Listen, God knows why he brought you to Corinth for this season. And he knows for what reason. He has us all together. He's arranging the parts of his body to fulfill his purpose. And what God desires more than anything is that a full expression of Jesus to this community in this generation and into the next. He's like, I have brought you here to help complete that expression. Jump all in. Jump all in. And, you know, as we begin to wrap up this morning, we're going to conclude with a time of communion. So if you'll grab your communion supplies, we'll take communion together here in just a moment. And you know, we've been talking about surrendered living all day today. And I'm sure as you stop and you think about surrendered living, the ultimate, the perfect example of surrendered living is Jesus himself. He completely surrendered to the will of the Father. Mark chapter 10, Jesus says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's the ultimate act of service. It's the ultimate act of surrender. It's the ultimate act of giving. And it's a story that we continue to share week after week after week, day after day after day. Jesus Christ gave up his rights for our sake. He gave up himself to save us. His perfect life, his sinless life, given up for all of us. He died in our place so that we could be made free. You know, it's not long after Jesus said those words that he found himself sitting at a table with his friends. And he used that meal to drive home his point. A piece of bread where he said, this is my body. A cup of wine where he said, this is my blood poured out for many. And so he willingly gave it all up for us, to give us, to serve us, to save us. So let's remember that today. Let's take the bread. Let's remember that his body broken for you. And let's take the cup and remember the gift of forgiveness of sins through the shedding of his blood. I want you to hear me today. You're not here by accident today. God prepared this day in advance for you to be right here, right now, in this moment, to hear this very message. And so if you're here today, if you're watching online and you consider yourself to be a Christian, but you're realizing that I am a Christian, but I am not a surrendered living kind of Christian. I haven't surrendered everything over to him. And then today, the call is simple for you, for me. It is repent. Confess those things that you're holding on to and that you're refusing to lay down at his feet. Change course. Start doing what is right and say, Jesus, it's all for you. It's all for you. But maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. You're not a Jesus follower. You are not here by accident either today. Because the call for you today is to surrender your life for the very first time to Him. And to accept the free gift of grace that comes through Jesus' death, His blood, His burial, His resurrection. And to say, I want everything you have to offer. Confess of your sins. Repent. That's just a fancy church word that means turn around. Stop going that direction, the bad direction. Turn around and follow after Him. Be baptized into Him. Experience everything He has to offer. And so if that's you, you're in the room and you're just like, you know what, today is the day. I want to go all in. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want everything He has to offer for me. I want you to grab that connection card and just, you know, check that box. It says, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. Hand it to an usher as you're leaving out this morning or bring it up to me afterward. But don't miss this moment. You are not here by accident. He has a purpose for you. He has created you. You are His workmanship as well. Created to do good works. So follow Him and let's figure out what those are. So Jesus, today, we're grateful people, grateful to know that You do love us, that You like us, that You long to be with us, that it's not that You need us, but that You call us to Yourself because You want us. And so today, God, would You please, through the power of Your Spirit, be revealing what needs to be revealed, convicting where we need conviction, and spurring us on to act where we need to act. And we pray that all in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.